Last night, Zion Williamson and C.J. McCollum each scored 31 points as New Orleans beat Sacramento 135-123, completing a five-game season sweep of the Kings. The Pelicans improved to 27-14 on the road, which is a franchise record for wins, and is tied with the Celtics for the best mark in the NBA. Now, following their loss to the Pelicans, the Kings are now locked into a play-in game and find themselves in a three-way tie with the Lakers and the Warriors, with two games remaining in the regular season. Sacramento holds the tiebreaker amongst those three teams. We got Kendrick Perkins and Monica McNutt here joining Harry Douglas. Perk, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who do you think is the bigger playoff threat, the Lakers or the Warriors?
It's the Lakers. It's the Lakers. And look, I'm going to revisit what I said earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. It's because of their size and length with LeBron James, with Rui, with Anthony Marshawn Davis Jr. You got to have size in order to compete in the Western Conference, especially when you're talking going against the likes of Jokic, Zion, even Sabonis, if you have to match up with the play-in. You know, the one thing right now that the Golden State Warriors are lacking is size. And I understand Draymond Green, right, changed the game for about a 5 or 6 year window for us, being an undersized guy playing the five position, one of the best defensive players to ever touch foot on the basketball court. But at the end of the day, it's a new day, and you need size along the perimeter and the interior, and the Lakers have that, the Golden State Warriors don't.
It's all I've been hearing about my whole life. Size. You're too small, Harry. You can't do it. Jalen Brunson is size. He's 6'2". Wow. Jalen Brunson is a giant, though. I believe in the Golden State Warriors. I believe in the Golden State Warriors, Monica. And I'm not coming off of it, Pert. I believe in this basketball team because when you have a guy in Draymond Green in that fire, sometimes it gets him in trouble. But I love the passion that he plays with and being able to help guide that basketball team. I love Steph Curry, and this year he had to do a lot more. I'm not giving up on Klay Thompson. I love what I seen from Jonathan Kuminga. We can't forget about Andrew Wiggins. I like Trayce Jackson-Davis. I'm going with the Golden State Warriors, man, because the way they shoot the basketball in a game they just recently played, remind me, I can't remember who it was against, but they shot 63% from the three-point line. So you do have that to still worry about when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, guys that are sharp shooters and can shoot the three like no other, like we ever seen.
Well, gentlemen, what have we here? A little bit of a conundrum. 38% on the season, Harry, as a team. Look, the NBA goes through these shifts, right? Like, small ball Warriors dominant, right? We literally saw teams try to form rosters to match up with them. The tide has changed. You now see a need to match up with the new and potential dynasty in the Denver Nuggets, and that requires size. That requires bigs that can at least contain or attempt to contain a stretch five in sort of the peak sense of the word as far as a facilitator, a shooter, and a scorer in the paint. When you talk about Nikola Jokic, I think the duress that Stephen Curry has been under this season, to me, has taken a toll. And granted, the Warriors' last 10 games, they've looked pretty good. I think the best win in there is probably the victory over Dallas. They also have a loss to Dallas in there. I think they're like 9 out of their last 10. I just look at the landscape of NBA right now, and the top two teams potentially, even the third, if you want to go with Chet Holmgren in terms of his height, right? Maybe not as big as the size that Minnesota and Denver can put on the floor. You're going to need to be able to match up in that way, because when I look at the athletes, as you mentioned, that have come along, they can be guarded by those teams that the Warriors need to be, that the Warriors need to knock off. But the question then becomes, where are the mismatches? And it becomes in the size. And I'm not saying that they're not a terrific rebounding team. The numbers bear out that they are. They've done a great job of getting to the glass. But it's not just rebounding courtesy of size. It's the force and the pressure that you can put on the rim. The concern, while Steph is still that dude, what are you going to get from that supporting cast in a postseason run? Because he's already had to bear the weight of so much this season. So for me, it's the Lakers, excuse me.
No, that's the one thing.
Let me clear something up to the audience, though. Neither one of us are picking the Golden State Warriors or the Lakers to make any noise. Am I right? Because I'm not.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I had to pick between the two, I'm going with the Lakers and I'm going with LeBron James. I trust LeBron James more than I trust Steph Curry, more than I trust Klay Thompson, more than I trust Andrew Wiggins. Hell, more than I trust his own teammate in Anthony Davis, and that's saying a lot. LeBron James, when it comes down to having that IQ, understanding the moment, rising to the occasion, I trust him more than any other personnel that we just that I just talked about between the two teams, because he's going to take you to the finish line. But at the end of the day, I'm not trusting either one of those teams to really make it out of the Western Conference at all or make any serious noise.
To your point, Perk, to me, LeBron James creates a little bit more room for error, right? For the Warriors to be special, Steph has to be at his best. And then that supporting cast, like, it's no room for rookie experience in the postseason. It's no room for, oh, it's a series, the defense has changed. Like, and think about that run that the Warriors went on when they knocked off the Celtics and won their last championship. Andrew Wiggins was huge in that. And we've only seen glimpses of that guy this season. We have not seen that consistently from him. So there's just not enough wiggle room in terms of this team doing something special. And in the grand scheme of things, there's not enough wiggle room for either one of these teams to really make a deep run in my mind.
And see, well, what you just said, Monica, I'm doing something that normally Perk black men don't do. We don't live by the hope theory.
Oh wow. This
I'm,
got deep.
I'm hoping Andrew Wiggins could be better. I'm hoping. I'm hoping Jonathan Kuminga can continue to do what he wanted to do. And I'm a little bit more biased, Perk. You play with my brother in New Orleans. My brother also played out in Golden State. So, okay. You know, I just
the heart on your sleeve.
I know. I just love seeing the Warriors ball out and seeing them on the court. Klay Thompson is another guy, man, that he got to come along. He got to come along, but I'm still going with my Warriors.
Yeah, I get it. I'm glad you put that my in front of it. So we don't call it what it is. Harry's rooting with his heart.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit bigger picture when it comes to both of these teams. And Harry, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think that it's more likely the last season for LeBron and the Lakers or the Golden State's Big Three?
With a chance to win a title, I think it's the last season for LeBron and the Lakers. And here's why I say that. What we've learned about the Golden State Warriors over the years is that they are loyal to Draymond. And I know you may get into a situation with Klay Thompson and his contract, but if you listen to Klay Thompson on Draymond Green's podcast, it's also about mental health. And for a guy like Klay Thompson, being in the Bay Area for as long as he's had, being on that West Coast, I think that's something you got to pay attention to. Is he willing to take a pay cut to be able to stay with the Golden State Warriors? So I'm going to go with LeBron in L.A. With a chance to win a title.
Ooh, Perk was signed. Go to Perk first.
Well, I'm going with the Warriors in the Big Three, and here's why. Let me tell you why you're wrong here, Harry. First of all, LeBron James, he's going to re-sign with the Los Angeles Lakers because he's not going to pass up that lettuce that they're going to put on the table for him this upcoming offseason. That's number one. We don't know what Klay Thompson is going to do. And I've been one of the ones who have been advocating for the Warriors to trade Klay, not because I was doubting him or didn't think he had anything left in the tank, but I've been saying that Klay needs a fresh start. I believe Klay in a new environment, he's going to rise back to somewhat of the Klay Thompson of old. He has been doing that of late. Klay has had several 20-plus point games. And so when I look at Klay Thompson and I'm thinking about his contract, right, we know that the Golden State Warriors, they had an offer on the table. They couldn't come to agreement as far as getting it done. Klay, at this point in his career, it's about what matters to him the most. He's a guy that has already won 4 championships. Yes, I understand he has already made a lot of money. But at the end of the day, you could have another team out there that will offer Klay, in my opinion, more money than what the Golden State Warriors could offer him. And Klay is going to have some decisions to make. And if I'm Klay, I'm going to a new destination. Look, it's been a roller coaster for him, right? Get moved to the bench at times, not closing the games. That's what he was talking about when he was talking about his mental health, because it's been a lot on him, from his injuries to him being inconsistent to not knowing, you know, the part of the rotation, him having frustration with Steve Kerr. Like, all that plays a part. At the end of the day, Klay Thompson needs a fresh start, and I believe it's a team out there that has kept their eye on Klay Thompson, and he won't be part of the Golden State Warriors next year because he'll be in a new he'll find a new home.
This one's tough, y'all. I think the LeBron's gonna re-sign with the Lakers, so that part's not tough. But I think the layers of this conversation around Klay Thompson are interesting. I personally believe that we're entering a new space with athletes in general, right? Where they've made a ton of money, they've got different investments. The priority to play maybe is not as high as what we might think, right? Like, you think about Aaron Donald recently, right? Retiring. I don't know where Klay falls, but I do appreciate his candor about his experiences. He has already had a Hall of Fame career. I'm inclined to agree with Harry in that there is loyalty there. But this is one that I think is going to be really interesting to watch unfold. And like I said, I think we're entering a new generation of athlete where their portfolios are diversified. And when they decide they want to move on to do something else or do want to be loyal to an organization, they'll have a different level of autonomy from what we've seen in the past.
All I know is if Klay Thompson does end up elsewhere, he needs to be close to the water because that man is on a boat every day.
Yeah, mental wellness. I love being by the way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You already know we had to have former light heavyweight and heavyweight champion and current UFC analyst Daniel Cormier on. DC, thanks for joining us. What stands out to you the most about this UFC 300 card?
You know, Christine, is the depth. I mean, we have 12 current or former champions on the fight card. The first fight of the night features two former champions starting the fight card. It doesn't happen. And then a former champion ends the prelims onto the main card where you have two championship fights and a BMF title fight. This fight is the deepest fight card that we've ever had in the UFC's history. And I'm just happy that I got the best seat in the arena to call it.
Okay, so you mentioned that it's the deepest, but what fight are you looking forward to the most tonight?
You know, there are many fights on this card worthy of being the main event, but there's the people's main event. A lot of times, that's what matters, right? The fight that the fans are most excited about, it's Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje. You're talking about the BMF title between two championship caliber fighters, both former champions, Max Holloway, the featherweight champ, Justin Gaethje, the interim lightweight champion, and two of the most violent and fun guys in the entire UFC. When you put two guys like this together, it is guaranteed to be fireworks. And listen to this, Christine. Fight bonuses are generally $50,000 for performance of the night. If you want to incentivize people, any bonus at UFC 300 is worth an extra $300,000. So I think we're going to get a ton of big fights from the T-Mobile Arena on Saturday night.
Okay, so you mentioned that weigh-ins is happening in just a few moments right behind you. What fighter do you think has the most to prove tomorrow?
I think it's Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira is the former UFC lightweight champion. He is fighting Arman Tsarukyan, a younger guy who is on his way up to becoming a title contender. When you are in that position, your career can go one of two ways, right? You can work your way back into a title fight as the number one contender, or you start to head down and become a bit of a stepping stone for the guys moving their way up into the elite. Charles Oliveira has a ton to prove, but he has done it time and time again. And when you speak to Du Bronx, He will tell you right in your face that he's going to get it done Saturday and work his way right into a championship opportunity against Islam Makhachev.
Okay, finally, what do you think will be the biggest surprise of the night tomorrow?
Well, I don't know that it's a surprise, because when you talk about Holly Holm, how are you surprised with anything she's accomplished, right? She's a former champion herself, but she's taking on Kayla Harrison, two-time Olympic gold medalist, making her UFC debut. And Holly Holm, the former champion, is the second biggest underdog on the fight card. Look, we saw her knock out Ronda Rousey when Ronda Rousey was the best fighter in the world. Holly Holm has been here before. She has another opportunity to make a massive statement at UFC 300. And if she does, everything that she desires and she wants for in terms of championships and opportunities will be present for her again. Big moment for Holly Holm as she takes on Kayla Harrison.
Okay, again, as I mentioned, weigh-ins right behind you very shortly. Do you think there's going to be any fireworks there?
You know, I expect fireworks every time, but I'm messy, right? Christine, like, I want people pushing each other on the stage. I'm hoping that they get into a little bit of action. I think it raises the excitement, but I don't know. Everybody seems to be getting along with each other. And for me, as the messy guy, I don't love it as much. But you know what? It is what it is. Let's see what happens here in the next few minutes.
You said you like the drama. I like the drama as well. So hopefully we see some fireworks. DC, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on pay-per-view tomorrow night.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here we go, here we go. It's Love Friday. I mentioned this earlier. I'm hoping y'all, all viewers, give me some love on my list. And we got Harry's list, top five teams heading to the NBA playoffs. And we're going to start with number five. Why? Because, baby, I'm alive. Hit me with it, the OKC Thunder. Shout out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Talking about leading top five in points in the NBA, leading the league in steals. Chet Holmgren had an unbelievable rookie season. I like OKC right now. They have a two seed. Still have an opportunity to get the one seed, even though it's far-fetched. But they the two seed. I really like this young basketball team, third youngest in the NBA. So shout out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And where he had them placed right now, I got them at number five. Number four. Hit me with it. Timberwolves. Mm. You talk about defensively. Front line. Monica, we talked about size earlier. Yeah. Well, guess what the Timberwolves have? Every bit of it. With Rudy Gobert. They have Anthony Edwards. We call him Ant-Man. The boy from Georgia. You know he different. I'm from Georgia, too, Monica.
Yeah, you are.
But guess who coming back?
Who coming back?
Cat. And Cat. I ain't talking about no meow. I'm talking about Carl Anthony Towns. Cat with a K. He's coming back. He's number four on the list with the Timberwolves. Number three. Hit me with it. We got the Dallas Mavericks. Ooh, we talk about duos. You talk about that duo with Luka. He only get about 2 inches off the ground, but who cares? The man can shoot it from anywhere. But that boy Kyrie, the way he dribbles with the basketball, Lord have mercy, I gotta love Jones. Shout out to Kyrie. I got the Dallas Mavericks at number three. Number two, hit him with it. We got the Boston Celtics. And the reason why I have the Boston Celtics at number two is because a lot of people want to forget about the Denver Nuggets and what they did last season, what they actually got on their roster. Kristaps Porzingis, I like that he's the third scorer that they can count on. Back to the basket when teams want to switch, he can take advantage of them, shoot over top of them. I also like the way their guards have been able to play. The Boston Celtics at number two on my list. Number one, we all know. The Denver Nuggets. When you have that guy, a lot of people say Himothy. Back in the day when I was growing up, we just call him that dude. That's Nikola Jokic. But Jamal Murray, when it comes down the stretch, they got the two-man game. I like Aaron Gordon running the baseline. I also like the other pieces that they have in that starting lineup. So I'm going with the Denver Nuggets at number one. Ladies and gentlemen, how did you like my list? Remember, it's my list. It's my list.
We got a list. All right. I'm a fan of the list.
I feel like.
Talk to me.
You sound hesitant.
Well, it's the way we're playing right now. Now, these guys just dropped two, but I'm not going to put too much on it because of the type of season that they have. I don't have much to say about these two, right? I'm debating if I might want to flip these because Karl Anthony Towns is a big if, how, when, what's he going to look like when he returns, right? Like, he's a big piece to what they do. But these guys, since the All-Star break, everybody's talking about it. They've been hot. They got a dynamic duo. They got defenders and Gafford, and they got Gafford and Washington. So I'm not mad at this list. I might just switch the bottom two. That's all I got.
Big Perk, talk to me, boss.
Harry, I must say, I wanted to come on here, and I wanted to give you the business because I didn't know what to expect. But I actually...
Yeah.
I got to applaud you. That this is one of the better lists that I've seen on First Take, right?
Wow.
Since I've been joining the show, to be honest with you. I mean, you did your homework. You broke it down. The energy level was there. You could have elevated it a little bit more at the start to really sell me and get me into it. But as it went on, you started giving me the bars. I like all those teams. I think, you know, when you look at the Dallas Mavericks, you're right. I mean, I might want to throw the Clippers in there, but they play each other in the first round, so you got to pick
a
side.
We got to talk about that. I'm not mad. At some point. Go ahead.
I'm not mad at the top two. Now, I will say this about the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a reason why we're hearing whispers, why a lot of those lower seeds in the West that could possibly be the 7, 8, 6, 7, or 8 spot, they want to see OKC, is because the interior, because they're wondering if Chet Holmgren is going to be able to hold up in the 7-game series and battle the likes of a Karl Anthony Towns and a Rudy Gobert, or battle of Jokic. Like, they want to actually see that. So at the end of the day, man, I give you an A- on this list because your energy level was low to start.
What you say? Custom made?
Like, hey, when you custom made, you ain't got to fit in, baby. Hey, that's everybody on First Take right now. You don't have to fit in when you custom made, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Monty, what do you got?
I'm with it. This is an A-list for me. It's an A-list.
Beautiful. Okay, that's beautiful.
Okay. All right.
I like
you know,
that.
Lists can be tricky on this show.
It's okay.
My experience.
So okay.
Listen. We started the show talking about the Knicks, right? They're not on here.
I was wondering if you was going to give them one.
So here's the thing about it. I love the Knicks, and I love how they play the game of basketball, and I love Brunson. But I just can't put them on this list because they're in the Eastern Conference. I got to show love to the Western Conference teams that's been fluid all season long and also been doing their thing. You look at this. This is the 3 seed right now. 1, 2, and 3. Either one of these three teams on this list could be the 1 seed in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The list is not talking about who, you know, basically you're asking like, who are the contenders? That's what I'm getting from this list, right? And if you think about the New York Knicks, they're the second best team in the East. So it's a strong possibility that they can actually make it to the finals. You know what I mean? So, I mean, they should have been in your honorable mention. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. Yeah, so right after them, I had the Clippers, and then I had the Knicks after the Clippers. I had the Clippers at 6, and I had the Knicks at 7.
When the Clippers are healthy, I've been a huge fan of the Clippers. Mm-hmm. But the health is, what you say yesterday? If it was the fifth,
we'll be drunk. And I don't drink Henny, I drink that tequila.
Okay, like done, cooked. So, that's a concern. But yes, the Knicks certainly an honorable mention.
Okay, Monica, looking at this list, who are you most concerned with in the playoffs?
Well, you go to these two. We just talked about Karl Anthony Towns' return. What's he going to look like? And then these guys, in addition to the girth, or lack thereof, when it comes to Chet Holmgren potentially, will youth catch up to them? I personally, and one of my Achilles' heel is in this space as an analyst. Oops, sorry. Stop making them faces, y'all.
I love HG.
Is that I fall for young teams really early, and I think SGA has been spectacular. I think Mark Daigneault has done a terrific job with that team, probably coach of the year. But will the youth catch up to them is probably the question. So the bottom two.
Okay, what do you think, Perk? Your thoughts?
I'm looking at it, and I'm a little concerned with the Dallas Mavericks. And the only reason I'm concerned, look, I know Luka has been spectacular. I think he's the most dangerous player in the Western Conference outside of Jokic. But still, I don't know what's the status on Kawhi Leonard, but if Kawhi Leonard is healthy, that is a seven-game series, and I don't know who I'm picking right now. Right now, I'm leaning towards the Mavs, but I think the Mavs could possibly get knocked out, and that's concerning because the Clippers have the depth, and they also have Ty Lue, that guy walking up and down that sideline who's one of the best coaches in the game.
See, yeah. I know other first-round matchups haven't been implemented yet, but I think already the Mavs versus the Clippers are going to be what everyone is most excited about seeing in round one.
Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Mavs.
That's why they're on his list.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, it's time for a quick take. Many might say Geno Smith has had a career resurgence in Seattle, but that did not stop him from saying, I've got everything to prove this upcoming season under new head coach Mike McDonald. Harry, believe Geno and the Seahawks can challenge the 49ers for that NFC West crown?
Yeah, I think they're going to be better than they were last season, especially Mike McDonald coming over from the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be able to unlock a lot of those young players that they have on defense. But don't disrespect the Los Angeles Rams. What they did last season, being able to make the playoffs with Matthew Stafford at the quarterback position, how Les Snead, their general manager, has been able to draft, don't sleep on them in that division trying to challenge the San Francisco 49ers.
And it may take some time. I understand Seattle and Mike McDonald, but it may take time for them to actually build the kind of culture that they want. Maybe Geno Smith is going to be the quarterback of now and the future. Maybe they'll go in a different direction. I think Mike McDonald's the right decision at coach, but it may take time to build the culture he wants to try and challenge San Francisco.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about quarterbacks proving themselves this season. Acho, which quarterback going into the season do you think has the most to prove?
Give me C.J. Stroud for 500. C.J. Stroud has the most to prove. You're like, Sam, what do you mean? C.J. Stroud, he was a rookie last year. He said rookie records. There's no pressure. C.J. Stroud, he's a rookie. Nah, dude, this dude, they just got Stephon Diggs. They're in a win-now mentality. They just got Joe Mixon, right? Danielle Hunter on the defensive side of the ball. Danico Autry, Al Shire, inside linebacker. This team is building their entire offseason, season future around C.J. Stroud. Now, do I think he's up to the challenge? Absolutely, but he definitely has a lot to prove. Proof that last year was just the floor of your future. And oh, by the way, with that being the floor, then add a dynamic running back, which I love Singletary from last year, but add Mixon at running back, add Diggs to Tank Dell. And I mean, like, I think about this team as like, okay, wow, you're upper echelon, like top three or so team in the AFC. That's what you have if C.J. Stroud plays the way you expect. And then also if you get Stephon Diggs, what you've seen the last, you know, five, six, seven, however many years he's been playing at this high level.
And I'll say also with Houston and C.J. Stroud, what's different about 2024, they're not going to have that weak schedule. Winning that division last year, they're going to have a lot more tougher games. You got to play that first place schedule moving into 2024. But for me, I'm going to bend the rules a little bit, Acho, here. I got two guys. And number one, I'm going to start with Josh Allen, right? Because now he's not going to have a Stephon Diggs. You're not going to have a Gabe Davis. You're not going to have the guy that really helped propel your career, uplift your career upon his arrival. They're going to be drafting another wide receiver, and he's going to have to find that rapport with that young guy, even though I don't think it'll be a problem, but that pressure is still going to be on him. Secondly, I'm going to go with Dak Prescott, and it's not about the regular season because Dak Prescott was top five in QB rating, completion percentage, touchdowns, a lot of different other things when it came to the quarterback statistics. But when it got to the playoffs, like it's been the last 3 years for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott has not been able to get it done. So when I'm talking about him, it's solely on the playoffs and beyond. It's nothing to do with the regular season. He's been able to do it there. But for the postseason, I'm putting Dak Prescott in, on that list.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you said Josh Allen, and my first thought is, come on, bro, Josh Allen just lost Stephon Diggs. What does he have to prove? But to the counter of that, almost to your point, it could actually prove that, hey, not necessarily that I didn't need Stephon Diggs, right? But also, hey, look how much better I can be or just as good without Stephon Diggs. Remember with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill leaving? No, I don't think he had a lot to prove, but he did prove to us that, hey, I don't need Tyreek Hill. I don't really need anybody. I don't need receivers. I could do it all by myself. And so, what if we have a situation where Josh Allen and this team still finds a way to win, maybe win in the playoffs, maybe make it to the Super Bowl without Stephon Diggs? Now there's no question or conversation of, oh, well, you needed Stephon Diggs to elevate your game. No, my game was already elevating. Stephon Diggs absolutely helped that. I'm not discrediting him, but man, I'm still having high success without him. I could rock with that a little bit of Josh Allen having a lot to prove without his star receiver.
Okay, so HD said Dak Prescott is the second quarterback that he feels like has the most to prove. Adam Schefter has some interesting sound on what the Cowboys are planning on doing at the draft. Take a listen.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
HD, your reaction to what Shefty said?
I don't think so. When I look at the Dallas Cowboys and the inability to be able to bring in free agents and sign them, now you have to bank on your draft. They have offensive line needs. They have a running back need. They have more defensive line and more linebacker needs, I feel like personally. So when I look at the Dallas Cowboys, you have a first, a second, and a third round pick. One of the luxuries I think that they've been able to have over the last 4 drafts, I should say, and a lot of people don't give them credit for this, is being able to draft well. So I don't think in the first round you have time to be wasting on a quarterback, especially someone that she doesn't know that's proven in the National Football League. You took a 4th-round draft pick and traded for Trey Lance, who was a former 3rd-round overall pick. That's your developmental guy right now that you use your 4th-round draft pick on. Use that 1st-round draft pick on an offensive lineman. 2nd-round, probably go running back. If you don't want to go running back there, go 3rd-round running back. Use a 2nd-round pick on a defensive player. But I think there's so many needs on this football team that was not active in free agency for them to be using a 1st-round draft pick on a quarterback.
Disagree, and I think the reason is because of this. I think about Green Bay as a starting point of teams that have picked quarterbacks even when they had a quarterback playing at a high level. Green Bay went and took Jordan Love even when Aaron Rodgers was playing at a high level. And oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers went and won 2 more MVPs even while Jordan Love was still there. Oh, what a horrible decision. No, it wasn't. Now Jordan Love is likely leading the Packers towards NFC North championships, or whatever you want to call it, right? You can talk about Lions, Bears, whatever, but he's coming. And so I think that actually I have no issues with the Cowboys taking a quarterback early in the draft, maybe round 1, maybe you go to round 2. If a guy like Michael Penix, for whatever reason, falls down the draft boards, I actually would love if Dallas did that, because it provides you some security, not just for now, but for the future. Let's say Dak keeps on playing at a high level. He had one of his best years last year under Mike McCarthy. We know how great of a coach Mike McCarthy is. Great. You have a quarterback you can develop. Let's say you don't want to give Dak that long-term extension. You don't know what's going to happen next year. Great. You had a quarterback who learned for an entire year from Dak Prescott and this culture and gets acclimated with the team, and now he's your quarterback moving forward, kind of like you had when Dak took over for Tony Romo after Tony Romo got injured. And so for me, I don't think it's ever too early to go and get a quarterback, part 1. Part 2, I'll end here. You talked about Trey Lance being that developmental guy, and maybe he is, but also it never hurts to have another guy who you actually drafted, chose, and selected in your organization lead your team for the future.
Well, here's my only rebuttal to that, Acho, is because when I look at Dak Prescott, I just mentioned he was top 5 in just about everything, right? And it's not the regular season that we're talking about, it's the postseason. But you know what you're getting when it comes to Dak Prescott. When you're taking a rookie in the first round or you're taking a rookie in this draft, you don't know what you're getting. So that's the only thing I would say when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, who view themselves as contending for a Super Bowl right now. What did that leave you with a rookie that you don't really know how it's going to pan out?
Yeah, but Harry, you said they look at themselves as contending right now. They always look at themselves as contending. Even when Tony Romo, when Dak Prescott came in for Tony Romo, they looked at themselves as contending. When Tony Romo came in, they looked at themselves and they were contending. And so I think that if you look at some of their front office staff that says, hey, let's evaluate this position, let's evaluate our needs, let's evaluate what's in the draft, and the right player is available in round one or round two, I keep on pointing to Penix, because we were there together on the sideline watching him at Washington in the Sugar Bowl tearing up University of Texas. We saw that with our own eyes. It was outstanding. It was amazing. They saw him personally. All the teams that came out and watched him run in the 4.5s and the 40, watched him throw all over the field at his pro day. So we saw that firsthand. I don't think that you can discount saying, okay, we know who Dak Prescott is. We know where he can take us, but we want to have somebody for the future, maybe somebody that could take us further when it matters. That's what I think is cannot be discounted when it comes to looking at and evaluating this position.
Good there, Ishii?
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to ask you, because you mentioned the fact that obviously every single season the Cowboys are contending for a Super Bowl championship. Acho, I'm going to start with you. How far do you think that they'll actually go this season?
No, I think it's the same thing. Make the playoffs, maybe win the division, and lose in the first, second round. I don't say they're always contending. They say they are contending. They want to contend. Jerry Jones wants to contend, but historically speaking, Dallas has had a hard time winning in the playoffs, point blank period, right? When I was a little kid, 80s, early 90s, they were winning Super Bowls back to back to back. Recently, last 20 years or so, they haven't. And so I think that the Cowboys will have a formidable team. I think they'll have a top offense again because of their coaching staff, the quarterback, receiver, CeeDee Lamb. But the issue has and consistently has been, can they win when it matters? Can they win in the playoffs? So let's go back, what is it, 21 or 22, when they beat the Buccaneers, right? Tom Brady's last year, 2 years ago. All right, great, great playoff win. But what'd you do after that? So I think they'll be able to have success in the playoffs early. But for me, it's what happens when you play San Francisco? What happens when you play, maybe it is a hot Green Bay team? What happens then? Those are the questions that are yet to be answered for me.
Yeah, I'm not high on Dallas right now. They lost two starting offensive linemen, Tyron Smith and also Tyler Biadasz. Tyron Smith is now with the New York Jets, and Biadasz is with the Washington Commanders. Also, who is your running back going to be? What I do know about the National Football League right now, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you have to be balanced offensively. And that's just not the case when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, because everything is predicated off the pass game and CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. That's another reason why when they got into the tight red zone or the red zone period, or they got in short yardage situations and they're trying to pass the football versus running it, because you don't have that statement on your offensive line, nor do you have it at the running back position. So I think those are major needs for their offense. And if they want to contend for a Super Bowl, you have to be balanced on that side of the ball. But also defensively, you have to be able to stop the run. When I look at what the Buffalo Bills were able to do to the Dallas Cowboys last season, and Josh Allen barely throwing the football and rushed for over 200 yards, that was embarrassing. You can't be playing with a pissant linebacker. You got to have size.
All right, we'll leave that conversation there. We love talking Cowboys Super Bowl chances in April. Sam Acho, great to see you. We'll see you later.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We got some sound from a guy that I want you guys to take a listen to. Take a listen to this really fast.
Last time you went to the barbershop, sat in the chair and said, give me a haircut.
It must have been like eighth grade.
What? So we're talking about 20 years then.
It's been a little bit.
You haven't had a cut.
I'm a lot. Wow. It's a pleasure that I'm able to be recognized in silhouette. That's something I don't want to ever have taken away from me. It's not enough to be 7 foot. I've got to be recognized in silhouette instantly.
That That is Robin Lopez talking about the fact that he hasn't had a haircut in a very long time. HD. That's I know you just switched up your hair, so.
I did, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't been since eighth grade.
Yeah.
Hey, let that man freeform. Just whatever it is.
Is that what it's called?
It's, well, if he freeform locks, we know our thing.
Okay.
He's just freeforming.
Yeah, in general.
Freeforming.
In general. I can't go more than 2 days without cutting my hair.
Perk, how long can you go without getting a haircut?
7 days. 7 days.
That's
I'm trying to hold on to the little bit that I got.
Okay, quickly, Monica, you have a list for us, don't you?
Yeah, so no particular order except the garden is number one. Let's talk about best home court advantages.
Yes, that's
the
what it
NBA.
Is.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, here's my list of things you gotta consider. The garden is number one. Even though, like I said, this is not an order. The Nuggets, you gotta deal with the altitude. It matters. The Kings light the beam, they be rocking. I gotta give them their credit. Boston gets really, really loud. The marquee, what's that floor called again? I forget, y'all know what I'm talking about. The hash looking floor. Anyway, that, iconic. And then Sixers fans, to me, they hold it down. So these are my best home court advantages in the league.
And these are in no particular order, but number one
is the garden.
The garden, okay.
Of course.
What? Yeah. What do you have to say, Perk?
What you want? Come on.
Like, we cannot sit up here and acknowledge the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know they haven't been in the postseason in a minute, but do we remember Loud City? Do we remember they saying people were saying how loud it was?
It
was like
really
an earthquake in there.
Yes, it's
extremely loud. That fan base is underappreciated, and that home court advantage for the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to be huge.
I'm going to give you that, Perk, and I'm going to call out my own small market bias because their mascot scared the everything out of me when I had a game. There are pictures
she
of
loves
it.
Mascot.
I hate mascots.
It like snuck up on me, and I was like, oh my God, this giant fur creature. But yeah, OKC gets loud for sure. But those are the
honorable mention. That's honorable mention. I hope you guys all have a very beautiful weekend. HD, Monica, Kirk, see you guys later.